You're listening to Body Language, and I'm Christopher Springman. We are in the eye of the perfect storm in American medicine. That is, too few doctors being trained, not enough doctors available to folks outside of major cities and urban areas, plus the challenge of the Affordable Care Act, Obamacare, inputting millions of people with no previous patient experience other than knocking on the emergency room door. So, two questions, please. Where will all the new doctors come from, and who's going to train the new Obamacare signups to have a great patient-provider relationship and get the care they need and feel that they deserve? Our next guest, Dr. Daniel Ofri, shares those concerns.
All right.
Dr. Ofri, so nice to have you on Body Language on Radio MD.
It's a pleasure to be here.
You've been on the show before. First time we discussed your wonderful book, What Doctors Feel, How Emotions Affect the Practice of Medicine. And there's a red brain and a heart connected by a very thin line on the cover. However, today we're discussing an article that you just wrote for the New York Times that really grabbed my attention, especially as this relates to the ACA, the Affordable Care Act, a.k.a. Obamacare. You say lots of new patients, but too few doctors. In fact, the first paragraph goes like this. The first thing my new patient did when she walked into my office was breathe an enormous sigh of relief. Quote, it was so hard to get this appointment with you, Dr. Ofri. It took weeks. You say, unfortunately, my patient is not alone in her struggles, as it is increasingly difficult for patients to find doctors and get appointments with primary care physicians. Dr. Ofri, what is going on out there in the real world?
Well, as it stands, we probably have too few doctors overall for the number of patients out there, particularly in primary care specialties like internal medicine, family medicine, pediatrics, and that's what everyone needs. Not everyone needs a specialist. And so the numbers don't quite match up. And then we have, if you add on to that, an aging population. A generation ago, people died much younger of their heart attacks and strokes, but now we have medicines to prevent that, and people live another 20, 30 years, but then they also longer.
And now they're living with 127 comorbidities that...
Yes, they have diabetes, and they have Alzheimer's and arthritis, so they're living longer lives and are more medically complex. So the patients themselves are much sicker than they were. Two generations ago, you died, you were healthy, and you got pneumonia and you died. And there wasn't much in between. So the nature of medicine has changed, but the supply hasn't gotten exponentially bigger.
But wait just a minute, doctor. I was just in Beverly Hills the other day where plastic surgeons are lined up as sutures. There's a dermatologist on every corner. In fact, that area of the country, and along with certain parts of Manhattan, are referred to as Silicon Valley because of the number of breast implants that plastic surgeons do. So what's the problem, doctor?
Well, you've identified two problems. So one is geography. New York, Boston, and Philadelphia probably train a lion's share of physicians. We have so many medical schools, hospitals, medical centers, and maybe Northern California is the next outpost. And doctors often tend to stay near where they trained. And so there are many more doctors in urban areas. And so, yes, in Manhattan, you have no shortage of doctors. But when you go out to the rural areas, small towns, it's much harder. You know,
speaking of Northern California, as you were, my dermatologist is a former OBGYN. And I asked her why she switched, and she said, look, the kid's not going to wait for anyone, but your BCC, your basal cell carcinoma, skin cancer, will probably wait until Friday at 9 a.m. when I can get to it. And she said, then I can have a real life. That's an area of concern, too. It's much like the orthopedists who are going into sports medicine. They really want a life instead of spending their entire career tag-teaming, doing total hip and total knee replacements.
Well, you touched upon now the second issue. Besides geographical mismatch, there's also specialty mismatch. And part of it is, as your dermatologist said, you know, doctors do want a life, and also many doctors want to earn money. And specialties like dermatology earn a lot of money. The lifestyle is very comfortable. Why be an OBGYN and be up all night, make a much lower salary, have a difficult life? So people, many medical students are really aggregating toward things like radiology, ophthalmology, anesthesia, dermatology, you know, more controllable hours, pay well, and not as much paperwork as general internal medicine and family practice.
Doctor, we understand the problem. Let's stop repeating the problem. There are lots of issues here, which include the immigration of doctors from countries like India, which has been discouraged primarily because of the war on terror and draconian residential requirements. But the other issue is, in terms of the Affordable Care Act, and let's segue into that. We just did a story on the famous Oregon study, which was done several years ago here in Portland by a number of researchers, including one from Providence Health and Services, which surveyed how people use the emergency room versus a more traditional relationship with healthcare, i.e., making an appointment with a physician and keeping it. This is really a big part of the issue of the shortage in terms of utilization and also how healthcare in America is in essence dispensed by providers. What's going on there?
Well, that term provider is a strange term. I always think of, you know, these are, sounds like you're at the fast food joint. I mean, healthcare medicine is what doctors and nurses and allied health professionals give. We do have the system that makes sense is that you have your primary care doctor or nurse practitioner who takes care of your ongoing health. And the emergency room is there for when you have a true emergency, not for when you have an ordinary condition for which you lack a doctor. Unfortunately, because so many people have been uninsured, the emergency room has been the only outlet, the only place to receive care. And it's much more expensive, obviously, to do it through an emergency room. And so the goal of the Affordable Care Act has been to help the 40 million people who don't have insurance get insurance and help them get primary care doctors to avoid unnecessary emergency room care.
Our guest is Dr. Danielle Ofri, MD, a physician, author of What Doctors Feel, How Emotions Affect the Practice of Medicine. You, doctor, are an expert in how physicians are trained. Here's the big question as it relates to Obamacare and the Affordable Care Act and the millions of folks who are marching down to their local hospital, hopefully going through the hospital door and not just the ER door. How do we train people to be effective, efficient patients and consumers? I didn't see that in the Affordable Care Act.
Well, there is a little bit in trying to set up a research about what are the most effective outcomes, you know, to comparative outcome studies. And if we can do that, we can actually streamline our training to what we know works. And we spend a lot of time teaching things that maybe don't ultimately work. And I think spending the money and effort on finding out which treatments work most effectively is a way to be more efficient in our medical training.
But what can people do right here, right now, to be better consumers, especially those folks who have just joined up with the ACA, the Affordable Care Act, and perhaps for the first time in their lives, or at least in recent history, have that card? What can they do to get better health care from their providers?
So there are societal challenges, but I think we do have to take responsibility as individuals to make sure that we're at least doing those things and feeding our children healthy food and not feeding them only junk food. These are things we can do. And then the second part is understanding the illnesses that we do have. If we do have diabetes or hypertension, to learn what these illnesses are all about. Again, that's a wonderful role for your doctor or nurse to help you with, but you can also, there's plenty of resources out in the community and online to learn what these diseases are and how are the best ways to manage them.
Dr. Ofri, thank you so much for joining us today on Body Language on Radio MD.